Today we're going to talk about debt and remission of debt. And to set that up, I just want to give you some interesting statistics. Did you know that the personal debt of each American is $7,122? But that includes everybody in the United States. That's not those people in the United States that owe money. If you look at just the people in the United States that owe debt, the personal debt for each American that has debt is $15,266. But those debts pale in comparison to the national debt, which is today at $16.7 trillion. Now, if that debt were to be paid by each of the 350 million Americans, it would be $48,000 each person. Now, there are those that argue that the national debt is not a problem because it's been higher as a percentage of GDP in the past. But there are others that argue that it is a big problem in the United States and that we may be actually experiencing some difficulties in our economy because of the huge debt. Whatever the reason is, you and I both know that having high debt is not good. And if you had your choice between having high debt and not having high debt, most of you would probably choose not having debt, right? Now, today, we're continuing our sermon series on images from the marketplace and the riches of God. And today, we're going to talk about remission of debt. But in order to talk about that, I first need to talk about what is debt. Now, debt is something that was around at the time of Jesus. He would go to the marketplace. People would go to the marketplace, and there were times where people loaned and borrowed money in the marketplace. It reminds me of those old westerns where people would go into town from the farm, and they'd go to the store, and they would pick out a bunch of stuff, and then they would go to checkout, and what would they say to the person? Put it on my tab. I'm good for it. Don't worry about it. They'd take all these goods, and they'd go back to the farm. Now, the market guy, you know, the guy, the grocer, he would look at the person and say, now, is he good for this debt or not? And sometimes he would call the person back to him and he'd say, you know, your tab is starting to get a little high here. I'm really starting to feel uncomfortable with this amount of debt. You need to take care of it. So the next time the guy comes and he settles the debt and life goes on. Or maybe he comes and he can't settle the debt and then you've got a problem. Debt is an important part of life. So the question you might have is, well, what does the Bible say about debt? Well, I'm sure you've heard the saying, neither a borrower nor a lender be, right? That's not in the Bible. That's Shakespeare from Hamlet. You want to know what Bible says about debt. And believe it or not, the Bible says very little about debt. It was a natural part of existence at the time the Bible was written. People did take money and loan money, and they were borrowers and they were lenders. But if you look through Scripture, you will find three broad areas that talk about our sermon this morning and the topic of debt. And the first thing I want to tell you is from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 15. I think we'll have it on the screen here, where it says, he who puts up security for another will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to strike hands in pledges is safe. What he's saying is if you're going to cover someone else's debt, you're going to suffer, but if you don't do that, you're safe. Or, I like this one, Proverbs 17, verse 18. A man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledges and puts up security for his neighbor. Or, as I like one paraphrase, it says this, it's stupid to guarantee another person's loan. Now, I learned this in second grade with Pat, and he wanted to borrow a dollar. It just so happened I had a dollar in second grade. I gave it to Pat. Guess what? He never paid me back. And I would kept telling Pat, you owe me a dollar. Even in high school, Pat, you still owe me that dollar. I know, I know. But see, I loaned money to him. And I should have expected that at some point somebody was not going to pay me back for that loan. That is a very simple message. Loaning money is stupid sometimes, at least according to the book of Proverbs. But that's not the main message of debt in the Bible. There's another message, which is this. Being in debt does not allow you to be generous. And for that, I'd like to look to Psalm 37:21. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. See, God gives us money. And he wants us to be generous with the things that he gives us. But when you are stuck in debt, you cannot be generous because you don't have money to give away. One of the greatest joys that you will know in this life is to be able to give things to other people. It is a great blessing that God gives us. But that joy is constrained and restricted when you are so far in debt, you cannot give as God would want you to give. That is a lesson from Scripture. You know, one of the things that God tells us to do is to be generous to other people. But hardships do happen. We know this in life. People lose their jobs, sometimes medical expenses. Hardships happen. As a matter of fact, hardship has happened to Donald Trump so many times, he's been in a bankrupt 4 times. Now, what that means is that if you've got $10 to your name, free and clear, you have more money than Donald Trump. That's a very exciting thing, wouldn't you say? But living in debt is no fun. God calls us to be generous, but we can't when we're living in debt. I think that's one of the reasons why God calls us to tithe. Now, bear with me for a second, but when God tells you to give a percentage of your income back to him, what that most likely means is that at some point in your life, you are going to have to sit down and look at all the gifts and all the money, all the treasures that God has given you, and you're going to have to calculate how much of that you're going to return back to God. And in the process of doing that, you will probably look and see that maybe your income and your expenses aren't in balance. And so you will sit there and you will look at your income and expenses and you will put them in balance. People who give a percentage of their income, who go through this exercise, will do things like, do I really need this and do I really need that? You know, I've known a lot of people in my life, some people who make a lot of money and some people who make very little money at all. And I have known people that live very comfortably within their means. They have money to spare. They give generously. And I have known other people who live outside their means all the time. They've got to have the next greatest big thing so that they can live this life. And they're always fighting to catch up. And if you are there following God, saying, I want to be a generous person, if you will just sit in your life and look at what he's given you and give a percentage to him, if you'll do that exercise, God will work on your heart to tell you what are the important things in life, and he will help you live within your means. When we first started talking about this sermon series about 6 months ago, I was going to follow this sermon series with a thing called Financial Peace University. It's one of those classes that you take where you go and you learn about how to stay financially solvent and not go so much into debt. Because one of the things that the United States, we just seem to live from paycheck to paycheck, and we're always doing that. And I would like to provide this congregation this fantastic program called Financial Peace University so that people can start to learn what God has to say about debt and living within your means. But we're not quite yet in our office or in our space yet, so we're going to offer it in the fall. And here's another thing that we're going to do in the fall. This fall, we are going to go through a process where I'm going to encourage everybody in this congregation to look through what God has given them and to make a determination of how much they want to return to God. They're going to go through that exercise. And when you do that exercise, we're going to come together and we're going to celebrate what God has done for us. But when we do that, it has nothing to do with the church budget or this congregation or anything. It has everything to do with going through the exercise to know what God is going to do in your life, what he's going to do in this congregation. You can't give generously if you're in debt. The Bible knows that. It talks about it all the time. But there's one other thing that the Bible drives home about debt. And it is this: when you owe somebody money, you are a slave to that person. When you owe somebody money, you are a slave to that person. Look with me to Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, in Jesus' day, if you were in debt to somebody and you couldn't pay the debt, what happened to you? That's right. You sometimes were put into debtor's prison, or you became a slave to that person that you could pay that debt off. Basically, your life was not your own when you were in debt. Now, today, we have different ways of settling huge debts in people's lives, and I understand that that happens sometimes. But in Jesus' day, if you were in debt, it was a big, big, big deal, and you didn't ever want to be in debt. But I'm not sure you want to be in debt today either. I was looking at some stories of people who are in debt, and their bills get sent to a debt collector, and the debt collector calls them on the phone. One debt collector threatened to take the children away if the debt wasn't paid. Another person posed as a law firm and said you were going to go to prison. Another person said, we're going to come to your house and hurt your pets. This one, I can't believe. Another collection agency was looking for money. They were actually fined because their worst offense was the collectors allegedly threatened to dig up the bodies of the debtor's deceased children and hang them from a tree or drop them outside their door if they failed to pay the funeral bills. Being in debt is horrible. And this world is so sinful. It is best not to be in debt. But what does that have to do with us? Jesus uses the metaphor of debt in his time to talk about the riches of God in our lives. We have horror stories. They had horror stories. But the bottom line was this. Jesus said, I have forgiven your debt. Because you owe me a debt greater than you could possibly pay. And the debt is this: God has given life to us. And it is invaluable, and we can never pay that debt. But God has paid the debt for us through a remission of that debt. He became flesh and lived among us so that he could take on the debt that we could not pay. That's what God has done for us. And that is the metaphor that God uses when he talks about his forgiveness to his disciples. He said, in the word that he used is a word that is completely associated with debt and prison. God has forgiven that debt. And that is the image. Remember that as we head into Easter week. In Jesus' name, amen. Patiently, just to hear.